Exodus chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. Time had passed, and Moses, the little baby in the bulrushes, in the ark that we read about last week, has grown now to be a man. And he is considered amongst his peers, amongst the people around about, to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so he is a prince in Egypt. In fact, in the New Testament, we're told something about this man, this prince of Egypt, and we're told that he was a very skilled and accomplished man in the arts and in activities of the Egyptians. Stephen says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So Moses was a very accomplished man by this time. But there was something else about him too. And I'm going to say to you that there was something which was even more important about Moses at this time. Yes, he had plenty of education. Yes, he had plenty of skills. He had loads of training. He was accomplished in words and in deeds and famous for them all. But Moses was also a man of faith. And that was more important than anything else. He had been raised an Egyptian, but he had learned about being a Hebrew, probably from his mother. So mothers, you take note. Little ones can learn the gospel early. And Moses had learned the gospel from those who taught him in his earliest years. Moses believed the promises of God. In fact, it seems as though Moses had already had some personal dealings with the Lord. If it wasn't him personally, then it was his parents who had communicated these things to Moses. But I suspect it was Moses himself. And that by way of some sort of divine revelation, because we read again from Stephen. And Stephen is very fulsome in his description in Acts chapter 7 with respect to this man Moses at this time. And here's what Stephen tells us about Moses at this time. He says, verse 23, "And when he was full 40 years old," so he's no longer a child, he's a 40-year-old man, "it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrongly, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." Now, what Stephen has told us there, we picked up directly from Exodus as well. We read that in Exodus, and here Stephen is repeating this account to us. But Stephen says something else. He says something important. He adds, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not." Now, do you see what that says there? Do you see what Stephen has told us? That Moses knew from God that by Moses' hand, the children of Israel would be delivered out of Egypt. And Moses had come to believe that he would personally be involved in delivering the children of Israel out of their persecution and their bondage and out of Egypt, back into that land of promise. And he expected, if God had told him about it, Moses, that he would have conveyed it to his brethren, the children of Israel, as well. That he would have opened a door of acceptance from the Hebrews towards Moses, and indeed respect to him who was to be their leader and lead them out of Egypt. But what he discovered this day, when he encountered these two Hebrews contending, fighting together, is that they did not see Moses in this light. Here's a wee lesson for us from that. It's always good to note and remember God's purposes, but we also have to remember that God has his own timings as well. It would be a full 40 years yet before Moses began his task of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses thought that it was going to happen now. He had things to learn before God's purposes began to unfold. When Moses intervened in this argument between these two Hebrews, one of them spoke harshly to Moses in such a way that Moses realized he was not amongst friends. He was not amongst the brethren that he had hoped he was. They did not understand Moses' intentions, his motivation, or indeed his faith in God. And it seems as if that's when the penny dropped. I don't know whether you know that little saying about a penny dropping, but that's when it dawned on him the reality and indeed the danger of the situation that he was in. Suddenly Moses realized that he was vulnerable and he couldn't count on the Hebrews to keep his secret. Pharaoh would soon know about the killing of this Egyptian, and Moses might himself be executed for the murder. So Moses decided to flee the country. I suspect he was confused about what was happening, and he realized there and then that his time was not yet come. But we're gratified, we're pleased that he still harbored a belief that he still had a role to serve amongst the people of God and amongst those who would return to Canaan. And again, we find this written in the New Testament. The writer to the Hebrews, he sums up all of this that we've just said in these words. And it's in Hebrews 11, 24, that great passage about faith. Here's what he says. He says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ more than the riches of the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." That's quite a long reading there, those three or four verses. Let me just pick out a couple of things to say to you, maybe three, and then we'll be done. But just listen carefully, if you will, to these points. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That tells me that there was a time in Moses' life when he had to make a decision. He knew of the covenant promises of God. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew that he was an heir of those promises. And he saw the terrible sufferings of the Hebrew people on the one hand, but he also saw all the pleasures of being a prince of Egypt on the other. And he knew he had to choose on which side he stood. Would he make a stand of faith, or would he enjoy an easy life as an Egyptian prince and never have a day's hardship in all of his life? Just nice and peaceful and easy and doing all the things that he wanted. And Moses chose to stand with the people of God, because he chose to do so by faith. Let me tell you, young people who are listening, something. Someday, and it may be soon, you'll be called to make a choice just like that. The pleasures of the world or the affliction of God's people. Choose wisely. Why did Moses choose the way that he did? Well, this is the second point. He esteemed, that means he credited or he recognized, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The treasures in Egypt looked good, but he understood that Christ was better. Even the troubles that Christ and following Christ would bring were better than all the privileges of the treasures of Egypt. Do you realize what he's saying here? He's telling us, the author of the Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, is telling us that Moses saw Christ all those years before in Egypt. Moses understood that the covenant was spiritual, not just about land, not just about possessing a country, but it was spiritual because he saw Christ, he saw the Lord all those years ago. He believed that one would come who would deliver his people and bless them with spiritual blessings, and he weighed up that those spiritual blessings were far more valuable than the temporary blessings of Egypt and its treasures. He believed in the Messiah Christ, and that Christ would save his people from their sins, because Moses had faith in Christ. He waited on the Lord. He didn't give up and he didn't deny his faith. But we're told he endured. And that's our third and our last point. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, Moses may well have been disappointed when that Hebrew man turned round and said, "What, are you going to kill me as well, like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" He may have been confused. He may have doubted. He may have wondered. He said, "What is this? I trust God. I believe God. I believe God's promise that he's going to use me to lead this people back to the promised land and to the inheritance. What is happening here?" But Moses knew that there was a divine purpose, and he knew there was an invisible God. How can you see the invisible? By faith. He knew that there was eternal salvation. He heard, he believed, he trusted. He understood that he was an heir of the everlasting inheritance, and he chose Christ rather than the pleasures of sin and the comforts of this world. Yes, it would take time for God's plan for Moses and the children of Israel to come into effect. Moses thought he could bring about Israel's deliverance himself by killing a single Egyptian and gaining the confidence of his people. But that wasn't God's way. Moses would have a deliverer's role, but not yet. However, Moses never lost sight of the invisible God or of his Messiah. And even in the land of Midian, where he lived for the next 40 years, where he got a wife and where he got children, he never lost his faith, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. May the Lord cause us to be faithful and to persevere and to endure, because we see the Lord Jesus Christ, our invisible God, and we trust him for his promises and for his grace. Amen.